the Cold Omaha Podcast Network.
You can put it on the board.
Woo!
What's up, everybody? Brandon Warren for Zone Coverage. We are doing Hanging with Mr. Hughes. It's part of the Midwest Swing Podcast. We may be looking for a different name for that because it is kind of cheesy. But Phil Hughes, right-handed pitcher for the Minnesota Twins, hanging out with us today. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How are you?
Doing good. You guys are getting ready to take off for the All-Star break. Any big plans for you as you get that 4 or 5 days off?
Yeah, I'm going to go home, Southern California, spend a few days, see my family, hang out, relax, not think about baseball too much, and that's kind of it. And then fly back to Houston and get ready for another 80 games.
What are your expectations weather-wise for California? I mean, is it going to be, like, it's 90-some degrees in Minneapolis
sweltering.
Today.
Yeah.
Just sweltering. Is it going to be like this? Is it going to be nicer?
It's supposed to be hot. Yeah, they've had, like, over 100 the last few days, so, which is nice. You know, it's all good.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
So this is year four with you and the Twins. So basically what I want to ask is, How well did you know Minneapolis before you signed here? Like, what were you expecting coming in?
I didn't know all that much. Just from coming here as a visiting player, you know, I'd been through the town, and a couple buddies of mine that play hockey that, you know, reside back here. And
so Bugsy was one of them, right?
Yep. And yeah, so they always had good things to say, and you know, I couldn't be happier. I came here, and it's you know, it's great. I know it's been the winter, so I get the best of it.
Right. Well, and Malone helped you find a place to live, didn't he?
Yeah.
Or general area?
Yeah. Yeah, so Ryan Malone, a good buddy of mine, we lived out in Plymouth for a while, then I moved downtown about a year ago.
So. Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's I'm just like 3 blocks from the ballpark. So.
Well, that's kind of nice. Not a real commute. Although the light rail was, I bet you don't take the light rail. I'm just kidding.
I actually have before.
Really?
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. To the airport, it's awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of nice. Yeah. So how has Minneapolis, like, your perception of it changed in the 4 years that you've been here?
I don't think my perception's changed all that much. You know, it's a really active city, I feel like, especially when the weather gets nice. You know, I see a lot of people out and about, you know, running and riding bikes. And, you know, it's a great place to live, especially in the summers. And everybody's out doing stuff and going to the lakes and, you know, doing all that kind of thing. So it's a fun town.
So I know you like Spoon and Stable. What are some of your spots downtown that you like to check out?
You know, it's rare that we actually get, you know, a chance to go and eat dinner someplace. But yeah, Spoon Stable is one of my favorites. Bachelor Farmer is always really good. Gavin just opened up a place in Wayzata, Belcourt. That's really good.
I've never tried that. I haven't been there yet.
Yeah, that's excellent. Yeah, it's kind of, I feel like Minneapolis has evolved into like a really big food city.
Yeah.
Maybe people wouldn't expect that, but there's a ton of great restaurants and things to do. And but anytime we get an opportunity on a day game or something like that, to go have dinner, I'll go with my wife and try and check out something new. But, you know, a lot of times we get so few opportunities, I don't want to ruin it on a place that I don't know.
Right.
So we tend to kind of hit up the usual spots.
You mentioned a wife. You got married in the off season. How's that going? I mean, obviously it's an adjustment. You know, you were 30 when you got married, a little later than some people. But is that everything good there?
Yeah. No, it was great. You know, I decided to wait a little while. My dad was a little bit older when he got married, had me, and I always felt like he was a good role model. So hopefully, you know, that's something I could, you know, pass down to my kids and feel like I have a little bit of life experience before, you know, I became a father. So that's something that's young, for sure.
Well, you're about my age, and I just had my first kid 7 weeks ago. Her first kid was 4th of July. So she was pretty excited. So are you thinking, like, kids soon or while yet?
We're talking about it. We're talking about it.
You got to start the negotiations, man.
Yeah. It's tough. You know, this type of lifestyle is not exactly, you know, the best for kids. You know, moving all over the place. And more so when they start school, it becomes a little bit of a big challenge. But you find a way to make it.
So when you go back to New York City, what's that like for you? Because obviously you grew up there in a lot of ways because you came up so young. Is it a fun trip for you? Does it give you memories of what it was like there? Or what does New York City mean to you now, and what's it like to go back?
Yeah, it's cool. It's like a different perception. You know, I feel like now when I go back, I feel like more of a tourist than when I lived there. You know, especially, you know, you have games every day, and so it's kind of, you know, like Groundhog Day almost. Get up, go to the ballpark, go home. But now it's, you know, 3-4 days a year that we get to go. And so I try to enjoy, you know, the sights and things more than I did when I was living there and playing there. I do enjoy it. It's a great town, and you know, obviously a lot of good memories come from there. And, you know, it's always nice to go back, especially seeing the guys that are still playing there. So it's always a good time.
Are you still close with anybody you played with there, as far as like who you keep in contact with? I mean,
yeah.
Eduardo Nunez was here up until last year. I think you guys might play there.
Yeah. We played together there. I still talk quite a bit with Brett Gardner, CC. You know, some of the guys are still there. The guys like 80 Pettit, they're still retired.
Sure.
I still keep in touch with. So, yeah, I mean, that's the thing you kind of value the most about places that you played in the past, is just the relationships and the people and the experiences. So that's kind of what I take away.
What's it like playing in a building, granted the old Yankee Stadium more so than the new one, with all that history, and at any given day somebody could come back, whether it's the since past Yogi Berra or, you know, all those guys that are still around or have been around? Does it carry any added meaning as a person that plays big league baseball to have those guys around?
Yeah, no, it is cool, and we get a little bit of that here with, you know, guys like Tony O and Rod Carew and all the guys that come back, and there we had, you know, Bruce Gossett, Guidry in spring training, and Yogi Berra before he passed would be around, and those are the cool things that you really take away from it, especially with Old Timers Day and everybody comes back. You know, it really makes you appreciate you know, the history of the team before you got there, and you know, it makes you respect the fact that you know, your window is very short, and you know, whatever impact you can have on, you know, whether it's the fans or the people that you play with, and, you know, it's really. It's a responsibility that I don't think you should take very lightly.
For sure. What are your favorite road cities when you are packing up to go on the road? I mean, you have two or three, four or five, or are there a bunch?
Yeah, there's a few. I really like being a West Coast guy. I enjoy going back there, whether it's you know, the Bay Area or Southern California. Seattle, I really enjoy. Obviously, Chicago's a great town to go there. Boston, New York. I think it's wild with all these towns I get to visit. But I would say definitely the West Coast.
So a little closer to home, too, I suppose, helps. What's been most different? You know, you did pitch as a reliever, I believe, in 2009
mm-hmm.
for a while. What's been most different now about that than that time? Obviously, because you are older and a different pitcher at this point. Has it been a big change, or is it still pretty similar?
You know, it's been a little bit of a transition. You know, back in those days, I kind of had a pretty set role as to what, you know, I was going to do coming out of the pen. Whereas now, you know, I kind of have to be ready at any moment, which is fine because I kind of learned how to get ready pretty quick. And, you know, just to be ready, you know, whenever that phone call may come. So it's been a little bit of a transition, but, you know, I felt like whatever I could do, you know, right now to help the team was the best route. So far, so good.
What's the most millennial thing about you? I had to throw that in there just because I messed it. I know you're active on Twitter. You're better than Glenn Perkins on Twitter, right? I mean, I think you have.
Following wise, yes.
No. I mean, just better at Twitter.
Oh yeah. Lately, for sure.
It's probably
Nick. When he tries, he's up there. But I would say consistently, I am a better tweeter.
Is there anybody else on the team that's close? Because it's pretty quiet club Twitter wise.
Yeah, you know, I don't think that anybody really compares, to be honest. I mean,
I agree.
I'm right up there with the best, yeah, for sure. So,
is that
the most millennial thing about me? There's not too many. I drive a gas guzzler.
Is that the thing that I saw you with in Plymouth, the range?
That's my wife's car now.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't... I would say, yeah, probably Twitter, I guess, if I had to pick one.
Or living downtown?
Yeah, living downtown,
you go to, like,
kind
breweries?
Of made that tradition. Not too many breweries, no. Yeah, I would say Twitter, I guess, is the most boring thing about me, as boring as that is. But,
Well, so what was it like playing on a team with, you know, you went your first round 2004, if I remember correctly. You, Trevor, and Perkins all on the same team. Obviously, Trevor and him taken by the same team and then you by the Yankees. Did you guys have any familiarity? Obviously, you and Trevor both coming out of California. Did you guys ever know of each other at that point?
Or? Yeah, we did. And we worked out a little bit. Having the same agent, he would, you know, throw me.
Oh, yeah, Neds, that's right.
Yeah, and I would work out with them sometimes down there in Southern California. And then I knew Glenn from, like, a rookie development camp that we went to. I think that was in, like, 2006 or something like that.
Okay.
So I knew those guys a little bit, and it's just funny how it works out. And we're all the same team. I think we were, like, four or five picks apart at all three of us or something like that. So.
Trevor's pretty good at Twitter.
Yeah.
But he's not a twin anymore.
Yeah. No, he's not bad. He's not bad. When he tries.
But not as good as you.
You're the effort guy.
Yeah, he's the effort guy. if you could throw one pitch that you don't throw in your current repertoire, what would you pick?
probably a knuckleball, I guess.
And can you throw a knuckleball? I mean, do you mess with one?
I mean, I do. I mess with it, but it's not. Which is why I don't throw it. I feel like if anybody has a good knuckleball, they're throwing.
Great job, yeah. Have you altered your repertoire at all? Obviously, you haven't thrown that much, but do you plan on paring it down, or is it getting pretty similar?
Yeah, I mix in a slider a little more than I have in the past.
You're kind of a tinkerer, right? A little bit?
A little bit, yeah. So you'll see that maybe a little more often now. But for the most part, I've just tried to keep everything kind of the same. But yeah, slider I think is the one thing.
So you locker next to Glenn Perkins, who's almost never here. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. Who's the worst locker mate that you've had in all your years in the big leagues? Because you're coming up on, you've been in the big leagues 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
So you mean, you've had a few guys that probably have gotten on your nerves, right?
I've been pretty lucky as far as locker mates.
Well, I mean, we're saying this playfully, so we don't want this to get out and have somebody sending you
tweets. Yeah, I was always pretty lucky with my locker mates. Can't think of anybody that kind of bothered me too much. Some guys are messy and I don't really take well to that. They got stuff lying all over the place and shoes that are in your area and stuff like that. But,
anything funny in the locker rooms? Any Lucky Charms or
maybe like candles
or something?
Escobar's got that force.
Kevin Kowalski, have anything in your...
Who's that?
The Mets story of the phallus that was left in Matt Harvey's.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, we're going down a weird road. You didn't have anything like that, I don't think.
No, nothing like that. But, yeah, Escobar's got his horse.
Is he the funniest guy on the team?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, he's hilarious.
Did you have a nickname? Because he did the nicknames. I don't remember if he gave you one.
Philly Hugh or something like that. I
wonder where he came up with that one.
Yeah. But everything's Caballo. So,
Horse.
Yeah. Everything's horse.
What hitter do you least like to face? Because obviously you faced a lot of guys.
Yeah.
We don't want to give any ammunition to them, but when you see a guy come up, you're like, man, I know this guy.
Well, I mean, all it takes is a quick search on Baseball Reference, and you'll find that it's Miguel Cabrera.
Who wants to face that guy, though? That guy covers the plate. Even now, he's 30. He's like a week older than Jamal, or a couple days older than Jamal.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. He's something like 20 for 45 with 8 homers and stuff. And every time I face the Tigers, like, You can't avoid it.
Do people give you a lot of crap on Twitter?
Fair amount. But, that's part of the beauty of it, is you're accessible and people feel like they're talking to you when they're out there. But then they're also behind the protection of the screen, it's not too bad.
I appreciated your Deadspin tweet of the guy calling for an inside fastball. And what bothered me, and I feel bad because it was a woman who wrote it, and I know she probably got some negative attention, and she is a smart person. She just maybe didn't know this thing, but I appreciate it. You're like, that's just a fastball inside. We probably should run that through. I don't know how you can get through editing without somebody knowing that.
Right, and Deadspin's reaches a pretty large audience. So for that headline to be, here's this catcher basically calling for the hitter to hit, I think is an unfair statement, whether he meant to throw at him or not. So. Yeah, I definitely wasn't the first person to be like, hey, I don't think that means what you think it does, but, that's the beauty of it. You can retract it, and it's all going to live on forever, so.
Do you think it's more fair now? You can go after someone who writes something, where in the past it'd just go in the paper and be hard to...
You'd have to, track the person down. I don't think that was right, and it's like, well, I can't go and burn up every paper that was printed about it, so.
Go and light newsstands on fire.
Tear down the internet. Do you think of yourself as an old school or new school guy for baseball statistics?
I'm probably somewhere in between. I'm pretty old school in the sense that I believe in sticking what's working for you.
Yeah.
And not letting statistics get in the way of your strengths necessarily. But I'm coming around to a lot of the new stuff that we're having nowadays with spin rates and arm angles.
We talked about spin rate on your pitches earlier.
I enjoy having that information because it tells me what I can get better at, but at the same time, I feel like if you're doing something really well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it type thing. So I'd say I land somewhere in the middle.
Did you feel like Target Field was a good fit for you as a park when you signed here?
I do, yeah. I always enjoyed pitching here as a visiting player. I don't know if it's changed too much, but it was always kind of thought as a friendly pitcher's park.
Especially for fly ball guy.
Yeah, okay. And I think it's, kind of progressed more towards the middle in that respect now. but unless you ask hitters, then it's the very friendly pitcher's part. Especially if you ask Dozier.
I'll have to remember to do that. Last thing I got for you, is there any hitter you know whose number you've had to this point? And I know you probably don't want to tempt fate, but is there a hitter you felt like you've had a good run against?
The problem is they're all retiring.
That's good, though, because then we don't put any bad mojo out there, so the next time they get you, they take it deep.
You know, I'm trying to think. Yeah, I usually exploit guys that are in their older years, that are bats have slowed down a little bit. I think Zunino over in Seattle, I've kind of had this number a little bit. Adam Wynn for a while there early in my career.
Sure.
There's not too many, to be honest with you.
He's Phil Hughes. I'm Brandon Warren. You've been hanging out with Mr. Hughes on Midwest Swing, part of the Cold Omaha Podcast Network.